Coming up on Locked On Dodgers, the Dodgers sweep the Brewers, but in the end, it's not quite enough, and their division title streak is over. Also, injuries to a couple key players left kind of a bitter taste in our mouths after an awesome season. We'll talk about all that and more, so let's get Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers. Your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Dodger fans. I am Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential, and this is Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I am flying solo today, but Vince should be back with me tomorrow. Thanks for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. Remember, this show is free and available on all podcast platforms and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. This is the daily podcast covering the world champion Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans perspective on our boys in blue. And another regular season is over. We went into the weekend knowing that the Dodgers needed to sweep the Brewers and needed the Padres to win two games at least from the Giants in order for the division title streak to keep going. And as I said on Friday's episode, one of those things was more likely than the other. The Dodgers did sweep the Brewers. The Padres were not as much help. They did beat the Giants one game. So in the end, we went into Sunday knowing that there was a chance for the division title, but then the Padres Padre'd it. They lost like 1,000 to negative 4 or something. It wasn't even a close game. And so there wasn't much hope. So in the Dodger game, the Dodgers took care of their business. They won, I think, 10-3, just kind of knocked the Brewers around in a bullpen game. The Brewers have had their division clinched for a while, so they, pitching-wise, they weren't putting out their best effort. Corbin Burns pitched one of the games but only went two innings. But he also gave up 3-run homer to Justin Turner in those two innings. So, you know, all in all, it was a weekend that it was as much as we could have asked for from the Dodgers, and unfortunately they didn't get the help they needed. And it's one of those seasons where we may look back for years at the what ifs. You know, we've talked a lot about those what ifs, the little thing. When you lose a division by one game and you played the team you lost to 19 times, there's 1,000 things that could have gone slightly different, whether Mike Tauchman's arms are a little bit shorter or Sheldon Noisy's arms are a little bit longer or Ed Hickox's strike arm works, you know, all those things that could have gone differently. In the end, they didn't. The Giants won the division. They won 107 games. Giants had a great season, deserve a ton of credit for finishing the regular season with the most wins in baseball. And now we will see what happens from there. So the Dodgers will be playing in the wild card game against the Cardinals on Wednesday. There's a lot to talk about from the weekend. There's a lot to talk about from the season. Obviously, we have a whole offseason to decompress and talk about the whole season, you know, the season as a whole. But I do want to talk just about a few things from the weekend. One thing that really made me happy is the offense really showed up. The Dodgers offense outscored the Brewers 26-12 in these three games. The offense showing up started a little bit before this series. You know, they basically, the offense woke up, and that's a really good sign. We've said for a long time here on this show, as long as the offense shows up in October, that's what matters. And that's the scary part. You know, Vince, my usual co-host, who's not here with me today, but he's notoriously pessimistic. He's just always worried that the offense isn't going to show up in October. The Dodgers could literally go a whole 162 game season, averaging 13 runs a game, and Vince would be nervous about the offense in October. And I think that's probably common to a lot of Dodger fans. We've seen, you know, in 2017, even though the Astros had to cheat to win the World Series, the Dodgers still took it to 7 games, despite the fact that a bunch of people on their team just didn't show up offensively. Cody Bellinger was awful. You know, a lot of people really struggled offensively. Justin Turner always hits in the postseason. Chris Taylor has hit well in the postseason. You know, they've got some key hits. And obviously last year they came through and won the World Series. And a lot of that was because a lot of guys showed up offensively in the postseason. But we've been burned enough times. You know, AJ Pollock in 2019, you know, we've been burned enough times that it's natural for Dodger fans to be a little bit nervous about the offense. But with all that said, going into the postseason, hitting as well as they are right now, it's as good as you could hope for. Unfortunately, One of their best hitters is not going to be there, and that's Max Muncy. Max Muncy got injured on Sunday. It was a stupid fluke play, just a little tapper in front of the plate. Will Smith came out and got it, threw down to first base, Jace Peterson, because he, you know, I get it. Everybody runs to first base like that. That's what they do. They get in the way of the throw and make the umpire call them out. Well, the umpire did call Jace Peterson out, probably because he broke Max Muncy. We don't know the diagnosis at this point yet, as I'm recording this on Sunday night, other than an elbow injury. And Dave Roberts said that Muncy is not going to be in the wild card game and unlikely for the division series. I think he's probably done for the season. It looked pretty serious to me, but I'm not a doctor, or nor do I play one on YouTube or your favorite podcasting app where Locked On Dodgers is available for free all the time. So I don't know what the diagnosis is. And once we do know, then we'll have a better idea. But chances are he's done for the season, which sucks. The good news, I guess, is that he hasn't necessarily been the key part of this offensive turnaround lately. He's done fine, but you know, it's been other guys. And so it may be something they can weather, especially when you figure Gavin Lux had already kind of started to emerge. And so they were kind of getting back into that situation where they had one too many guys anyway. It's all silver lining stuff, like trying to find a bright side, because there's never anything positive about losing Max Muncy. I love Max Muncy, and he's been great for the Dodgers this year. He's a legit MVP contender. Not going to win it. His struggles the last month or so probably knocked that chances away from him, but he's been an elite defensive first baseman this year. He's had defensive flexibility when they needed him to, and he's hit great. But they do have several other guys who can play first base. They've got Cody Bellinger, obviously, Albert Pujols, Matt Beatty. We'll dig into this more probably in the next couple of days about what this means for the team. Suffice it to say for me right now, I don't want to see Albert Pujols getting many starts at first base in the postseason. I think the vast majority of Pujols' value on the field comes from being able to pick and choose their spots of where to use him. I think of the wild card game, it's clearly got to be either Bellinger or Beatty, with Wainwright going for the Cardinals. And you can make a case for Bellinger or Beatty. Obviously the case for Bellinger is more defense at this point, and lightning in a bottle potential, I guess. You know, he's got that power there that we've seen. He hit one of the big home runs against the Padres in the comeback win. You know, Cody Bellinger still has that explosiveness, that potential in him. Matt Beatty is probably a better hitter right now. He had three hits on Sunday, including all of them against lefties, including a home run. And so, you know, it was, you can make a case for either of those guys. We'll see what happens, but it sucks to go into the postseason with Max Muncy injured. And you know, and in a minute, I'm going to come back and I'm going to talk about, unfortunately, the other injury of the weekend that was even more emotional for me. So go ahead and keep it locked on Dodgers, and we'll come back and talk about Clayton Kershaw. Hey, does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all the entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream. And it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. I also want to tell you about an incredible app everyone who buys gas needs to know about. It's called Get Upside. Our listeners are making up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. Just download the free Get Upside app in the App Store or Google Play right now. Use promo code BASEBALL and get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill up. That's up to 50 cents per gallon cash back. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using Get Upside. Just download the app for free and use promo code BASEBALL to get up to 50 cents a gallon cash back on your first tank. Some people who drive a lot are making as much as $200 or $300 a month in cash back, and there's no catch. The cash back gets added right into your account. You can cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Get Upside app and use promo code baseball. That's code baseball. All right. So as I mentioned, first, I want to thank you again for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every weekday morning. We really appreciate it. And as you recall, we're free and available wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube. So Clayton Kershaw was the other injury of the weekend that unfortunately we have to talk about. This one was hard for me. Longtime listeners of this show know that Clayton Kershaw is my favorite baseball player of all time. I got a little grief for saying that this weekend. When Kershaw got hurt, I tweeted out that he was my favorite player of all time. And there's a lot of snobbery going on. Like, people say, well, how could a current player be your favorite player? Like, your favorite? Like, have you ever heard of a guy named Sandy Koufax? Yeah, I named my kid after him. You know, like, the fact that Clayton Kershaw is currently playing doesn't mean he can't be my favorite player of all time. Here's how I determine it. See, I had other favorite players, and then Kershaw came along, and I like him a little bit more than them, so he became my favorite player. I don't understand the snobbery there. Several people told me I need to get out more, or I must be young. It's like, dude, I've been to games in 34 Major League stadiums. That's four more than there are. I think I've been out enough. I've seen some baseball in my time. I've seen thousands of players play live. You know what? I love Clayton Kershaw. He's a great pitcher. He's one of the best pitchers in baseball history. He's a great person. There's nothing not to like about Clayton Kershaw. So he's my favorite player. Deal with it. Anyway, and for the most part, people, you know, it was just a few people, and I probably should just ignore them. And I went on a muting spree on Twitter. Just so many people think they're so clever about Kershaw's postseason struggles and think that him having a season-ending injury and potentially career-threatening injury is the time to make jokes about Kershaw's postseason performance. I don't need that kind of negativity in my life. I don't make Twitter my echo chamber, but I am not afraid to mute you if you think Kershaw getting hurt is the time to make jokes about Kershaw being bad in the postseason. So anyway, if I stop responding to you and I used to, take a look and see if you made a joke about Kershaw, because chances are I've muted you. But not you. You're awesome, of course. Anyway, so yeah, Kershaw was pitching on Friday, and he felt something. He wasn't very effective. He was struggling. And then in the second inning, the trainer came out, and he came out of the game. And watching him walk off the mound, you know, a lot of people made a lot about the fact that he took the ball with him. He kept it in his hand as he walked off. He said after the game, he didn't think about that. He didn't notice he did. It wasn't a conscious decision. And, you know, at the time I thought, crap, have we seen the last of Clayton Kershaw? I don't believe that Kershaw would sign somewhere else. I think as long as he wants to play baseball, I think he's going to be a Dodger. I think the Dodgers are going to make that happen. But he's 33 years old. If he needs Tommy John surgery, they said a forearm some discomfort is the word I think they used. He hasn't gone in for scans yet as I'm recording this. But forearm almost always means elbow. Kershaw even said the word elbow when he was talking about it after the game. And so there's a decent chance he might need Tommy John surgery. If he does, he'd be 35 by the time he comes back. And, you know, is Kershaw going to want to battle back like that? I could see it going either way. I could see him being, you know, I don't want to go out like this. I want to come back even if it's just for one season. Or I can see him saying, you know what? I don't want to go through all that just to come back for one season. I just want to be a dad now. So I don't think he's going to just call it a career. But, you know, I wouldn't say I'm 100% sure he's not going to. I'd put it, you know, 90-ish percent sure that he'll try to battle back if it's Tommy John, but I don't know, you know, and sometimes I'm less optimistic and it's a lot less than 90%. But it was kind of heartbreak for me. I've mentioned, you know, the line I use when I'm talking about baseball is the most important unimportant thing in my life. You know, baseball doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things, but I love the Dodgers. I was born into a Dodger family. I'm born and raised Dodger blue, and Clayton Kershaw is my favorite player of all time because I don't get out much. And so to see my favorite player walking off the field and not knowing if I'm ever going to see him on the field again, it was hard for me. And not hard like when my grandma died or when my other grandma died or when my grandpa died or when my other grandpa died. Lots of death. Grandparents, what's that all about? But, you know, it's not that same kind of heartbreak. It's proportional baseball heartbreak, you know, the kind that, I mean, the other end of the spectrum, we've talked about before how a lot of us cried when the Dodgers won the World Series last year. cried tears of joy. You know, we saw Clayton Kershaw crying tears of joy. It meant even more to him because it's his livelihood. But a lot of us who were born and raised Dodger fans, lifelong Dodger fans, we cried a little bit when the Dodgers won the World Series. Well, this is the other end of that spectrum. Seeing your favorite player walk off the field injured and not knowing what his future holds, it inspires that same emotion, just unfortunately on the negative end. And so from a baseball standpoint in 2021, it's not even a huge deal. Kershaw was probably going to be their number four starter in the postseason. You know, Tony Gonsolin right now probably isn't significantly worse than Clayton Kershaw. There's a case to be made that he's maybe a little bit better right now, depending on what version of Kershaw we were going to get. And that's kind of what we were looking at with this last start, was to try to get a feel for what we could expect from him in the postseason. And unfortunately the answer is nothing. But so it's not like it's a huge step down to go to Tony Gonsolin as your fourth starter. It's just the emotional thing and the future and all of that. And so, you know, there's going to be plenty of time for perspective once we know what happened with Kershaw, what the diagnosis is, what he's planning on doing about it, all of that. But right now on Friday night, it was awful. It was just a lousy situation. I did not enjoy it. It made me sad. And I don't like being sad, but it's one of the reasons we love sports, because it gives us an opportunity to feel those emotions on kind of a low stakes basis, where your grandma doesn't have to die for you to remember, oh yeah, that's what it feels like to be sad, you know, and that's okay. Even, you know, when the Dodgers, you guys remember, if you're a longtime listener, remember the episode that I recorded right after game five of the NLDS. And I was near tears when in 2019, I'm talking about after the Dodgers lost to the Nationals. And, you know, I talked about perspective and my cat getting lost the night of game six of the 2017 World Series, and then coming home the morning after the Dodgers lost the World Series. And it's just a cat. I mean, that's barely even more important than, if it wasn't for the fact that my wife loves the cat so much, I'd put baseball above the cat. But, you know, that experience kind of gave me that perspective of realizing I was heartbroken about the Dodgers losing the World Series. I didn't know at the time that the Astros were cheating cheaters. I was just heartbroken about it. But then the next morning, I had an email from my wife as I was getting ready to drive back home to Utah from Dodger Stadium, had an email from my wife that the cat had come home in the middle of the night, and it totally changed my perspective. You know, the sports in the grand scheme of things is, you know, somewhere on the important spectrum. I don't know where it is for you. For me, it's the most important and important thing. And Clayton Kershaw's injury kind of forced me to feel that a little bit. There's so much to talk about from the weekend. You know, the other big story of the weekend was Julio getting his 20th win, finished the season with his ERA at 2.96. The only pitcher in baseball to get to 20 wins this year, first National League pitcher in 4 or 5 years to get to 20 wins, first Dodger since Clayton Kershaw in 2014, I think. So just a great season for Julio. It's kind of funny that he's the only 20 game winner in baseball, and yet he's going to finish third on his own team in Cy Young voting probably. But you know, it was a great season for Julio, and the fact that he's not going to win the Cy Young award doesn't diminish that at all. He shouldn't win the Cy Young award. He wasn't the best pitcher in the league this year, but he was outstanding. And to get 185 plus innings from Julio when he's never pitched a full season in his career before was unexpected and awesome. We expected him to be very good in the innings that he pitched, but we never did really know how many innings is that going to be. Well, now we know. So like 185 and 2/3, and they were awesome innings. So congratulations to Julio on getting his 20th win. I'm going to talk in a minute a little bit more about the other two Dodger starters, Scherzer and Buehler, who are battling for the Cy Young Award. I'm going to talk a little bit about just kind of the season as a whole. Like I said, we'll have the whole offseason to dig into the season as a whole. We'll have the next couple of days to dig into the wild card matchup with the Cardinals. So I'm just going to touch on a few of those things and talk about Buehler and Scherzer. So thanks for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen of the day, and stick around because keep it Locked On Dodgers. Did you know that Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar in the world? I suspect you did, because you watch and or listen to Locked On Dodgers, and we tell you all the time, Built Bar is delicious. The cookie dough chunk Built Bar is my current favorite. I could go for another one of those grasshopper cookie Built Bars too, though. I'll just switch off between those two every other day, or, you know, one of each day, depending on what kind of mood I'm in. But Built Bar, they're all delicious. They have 9 or 10 different flavors. You could buy a mix box and they'll send you 2 of each flavor and you can try them all out and say, okay, I like that one, don't like that one as much. And then you know what to order for you next time. And they're all healthy. They all have 17 or 18 grams of protein, 130 to 180 calories, 4 or 5 grams of sugar and carbs. They're amazing flavors, all tasty and all healthy. And if you go to built.com right now, use promo code LOCKED15, you'll get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. You are welcome. All right. So yeah, a few more things to talk about on this episode. A lot of stuff from the weekend. Max Scherzer didn't pitch this weekend. Walker Buehler did. But Scherzer's Cy Young case was affected anyway because Corbin Burns pitched. He allowed 3 runs in 2 innings, which put his ERA for the season at 2.43, just slightly ahead of Scherzer's 2.46. Scherzer would have had a chance to lower his ERA further if the Padres had won on Sunday, because game 163 would have counted as a regular season game. But unfortunately, that didn't happen. So Scherzer's season ERA ends at 2.46. Buehler on Sunday got his season ERA down to 2.47. So those 3 guys, Burns, Scherzer, and Buehler, are 1-2-3 in the National League. I think probably in the major leagues, actually, now that I think about it. And it's going to be really interesting to see what that does to the Cy Young case. ERA isn't everything. Wins and losses are even less, you know. By some metrics, Zach Wheeler, it was better than any of those guys we've mentioned this year. And so it's going to be really interesting to see. And we'll probably dig more into the awards stuff, in November, when they're getting ready to announce them. We'll find out who the 3 finalists are. They usually only do 3 finalists, and right now I could see it being any 3 of Burns, Scherzer, Buehler, Julio, and Wheeler. You know, could be any 3 of those guys. So we'll see. And the finalist just means the top 3 vote getters. Chances are all 3 of those Dodger guys are going to get significant support. And you know, Julio might only finish 5th or 6th in the voting. There's going to be support for a few other guys. There's been some other good pitchers in the league. But it's pretty impressive that the Dodgers' 3rd starter is the only 20-game winner in the league, and their other 2 guys have been even better than him. On another award voting note that we'll talk more about in November probably, Trey Turner kind of thrust himself into the MVP discussion by Fangraphs War. He's actually the leading the highest WAR among position players in the National League. Trey Turner, he hit 2 grand slams this weekend. He ended the season on an 18-game hitting streak, won the batting title in the National League, just kind of ran away from Juan Soto in the last week or so. Soto had the lead as recently as a week or so ago, I think, and Turner just ran away from him. So, you know, he's going to get some real love for MVP. Wouldn't it be ridiculous if Scherzer and Turner ended up as the Cy Young and the MVP after being traded midseason to the Dodgers? I don't think it's likely. I actually don't think I think either of them is going to win. On the Cy Young thing, it's crazy because, you know, Burns had the better ERA, but Scherzer threw more innings than Burns, and Buehler threw a lot more innings than either of them. And then Wheeler threw more innings even than Buehler and had more strikeouts or about the same number of innings as Buehler anyway. So much to think about. If I was an NL award voter this year, I don't know who I'd vote for Cy Young. I think you could make a decent case for a lot of different guys. So it'd be interesting to see. So overall on the season, you know, as we go into, it's easy to feel disappointed that the Dodgers division title streak is over. That was a lot of fun that they won 8 straight division titles. This is the first time in the time I've been a Dodgers season ticket holder that the Dodgers didn't win the National League West. Their streak started in 2013, the same year I became a season ticket holder. And so I think it needs to be pointed out. I became a season ticket holder before the streak started. The streak started because of me and not vice versa. But the Dodgers, they had a great season. They won 106 games. They went 18-3 in their last 21 games. You can't ask for more than that. No team is perfect. And with all the injuries they dealt with this year, they lost so much time, so many key players for so long to injury. To win 106 games in a season like that is remarkable. It was a great season. I said last week, if the Giants had won 107 games every year, the Dodgers would have had a zero season division title streak because the Dodgers did not lose this division. The Giants won it. The Giants won 107 games. They earned the division title by winning one more game than the Dodgers, by being one game slightly more, having a slightly more outstanding record than the Dodgers. That's what it boiled down to. The Giants won the division. Dodgers didn't lose it. And, you know, so that's kind of the positives. The negative is now the Dodgers go into a wild card game. It's a one game series. Anything can happen in one game, especially in baseball, more than other sports. Like in football, you've got the same quarterback every game. You've got, you know, the same, all the players are the same every game. And so if one team is significantly better than the other, you can feel pretty confident the better team's probably going to win. Basketball, kind of the same thing. You've got the same guys. You can choose to get the ball to LeBron James or Giannis or whoever your star player is. You can choose to get the ball to that person as often as you want. In baseball, your starter can only start every fourth or fifth game. Your hitters only get the bat once every nine batters. You know, there's not so much you can do. And so in one game, yeah, the Dodgers have the advantage going in. Max Scherzer against Adam Wainwright. Max Scherzer right now is a significantly better pitcher than Adam Wainwright. Adam Wainwright is still good. You know, the Dodgers offense is better than the Cardinals offense. Cardinals offense is still good. Anything can happen on any given day. And that's the scary part. And, you know, this is it's a flawed system, but it's always been a flawed system. The Dodgers aren't the first very good team to have to play a wild card game. And I suspect they might not be the last, but they are the best very good team to have to play a wild card game. And that's why they might be the last, because it's going to be front and center in people's minds going into the CBA negotiations, when we know that the league wants to expand the playoffs anyway. And, you know, this might give both sides a reason to say, you know what, we can't have a 106 win team playing in a wild card game. So either they'll expand the wild card, you know, to not just be one game, or, you know, mix up there. I've seen a ton of different things. I don't know what they're going to do. Maybe they won't do anything. But right now, I've seen a lot of people talking about how it's unfair that this has to happen to the Dodgers. But it is the flawed system that it's always been. So it is what it is. I don't know. Last thing I want to talk about before I wrap this up, you know, excuse me. We've known for several days that the Dodgers didn't have much chance of winning the National League West outright. The Giants had a two-game lead going into the weekend. Even a day or two before that, it's like, okay, you know, every time we thought, okay, maybe the Dodgers could pick up a game, it ended up not happening. And so the chances of them winning the division outright were really slim. So basically there were just three options. One, the Dodgers tie the division and win the NL West in a game 163. Option two, the Dodgers tie the division and then lose game 163. And option three, the Dodgers lose the division outright, which is what ended up happening. Obviously, option one would have been the best, to win the division. No wild card game, go straight to the division series, have home field advantage, all that stuff. But it's pretty clear to me that option three is a lot better than option two. If the Dodgers were going to lose the division, I'm glad that it happened outright and not in a game 163. You know, we would have had Scherzer throw in game 163, and then they would have had to cobble together the wild card game if they did lose that game 163. So obviously that's all hindsight, and the ideal would have been to just win the division. But if they were going to lose the division, if we've accepted the fact they lost the division, I'm glad it happened the way it did and not in a game 163. As exciting as a game 163 would have been, all that stuff, it just, you know, it would have been worse for the Dodgers' World Series chances. And that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to win a World Series. And Dave Roberts said on Sunday, we're going to win the World Series. It doesn't really matter how we get there. And that's basically the truth. Their path is a little bit harder this way, but they're going to get there. So in the end, it's not the worst thing in the world that the Dodgers did all that they could. You know, like I said, they won 18 of their last 21 games. They just came up a little bit short. The Dodgers did not lose this division. The Giants won the division. And that's, you know, that's basically the story of this season. So congratulations to the Giants, I guess. I don't know. Ben Caspick from Locked On Giants is a good guy, I guess. I'm not happy for them. I hope the Dodgers sweep them in the division series. You know, we'll see what happens. It's going to be a good series, and hopefully the Dodgers get to that series. But, you know, I think that's going to wrap it up for me today. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. Tomorrow, we will start looking ahead to this wild card game, talk a little bit about that. Now, for today, maybe make your second listen Locked On MLB, where Paul Francis Sullivan, please call him Sully, brings you his unique perspective on the major leagues past and present. It's free and available on all platforms. And if you're not listening to Locked On Dodgers every day, we would love it if you would add one or two days a month to your rotation. You know, if you have friends or family who love the Dodgers as much as you and I do, go ahead and tell them about the show. Maybe they're more into YouTube than they are into podcasts. Well, we're on YouTube now, or vice versa. You know, however they want to watch or listen, we're available to them. And we love talking Dodgers with you guys. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Samperio. I am on Twitter at Snydog. And the DMs are open in all of those places. Our email address is lockedondodgers@gmail.com. And our phone number, if you want to send us a voicemail or a text, is 323-863-LOCK-5625. You can, of course, subscribe on YouTube. We would love if you would do that. When we get to 1,000 subscribers, I'm going to be giving away a couple Dodgers Day of the Dead bobbleheads. So subscribe on YouTube, follow or subscribe wherever you get podcasts. Follow and subscribe everywhere it's possible to do it, and listen every day. We would love that. So we are here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be here with us. When you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. We'll talk to you tomorrow.